driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go.
Hello and welcome to the game. My name is John Kurtz. I'm joined by Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner. Nathan Sage is running things today. With you until 5:30 once again, shortened because of Royals pregame as the Royals take on the Tigers. Casey wins last night behind Salvador Perez and Danny Duffy. We'll talk about that coming up at 4:40 on the show. Plus, Ned Yost had some comments about Yordano Ventura. He was finally asked about that situation that we discussed at length earlier this week. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, will be on at 4:30. His initial training camp report. We're going to hear from him every week throughout training camp for the Kansas City Chiefs and then every other week throughout the regular season. So looking forward to that. And we'll go around college football at 5:10 before getting you out of here with a shortened You Can't Be Serious in about 5:25. And then Royals pregame will take over at 5:30. 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350. If you want to join us on the show, we're also on Twitter at TheGame1350. Today is the day. First day for fall camp for K-State football. Players report today, and there is exactly 1 month to go before K-State football starts.
As far as the players and coaches are concerned, the season is officially underway.
Yes, that is true. So if you want to consider the season being underway, be my guest, because you might as well. With camp starting, I know there are obvious questions all over the place. They've been discussed. They're going to be discussed. They'll continue to be discussed. Quarterback, wide receiver being the two primary concerns. Tried to dig a little deeper than that here for what I think are three of the biggest questions that the team has heading into fall camp. And I'm trying to relate them more to how they'll play out in fall camp as opposed to how they play out throughout the regular season, because obviously things will shake up differently throughout the season based on what happens as opposed to what's going to happen in the next month before we actually get to game one against South Dakota on September 5th. Now, we know the quarterbacks are the biggest deal here that everybody wants to talk about, but how about this for a question? I think to break it down even further than just who's going to take over a quarterback for Jake Waters, or even is it going to be all one guy, or is there going to be a mix of a couple different guys? How about will Jonathan Banks or Alex Delton make it very far in the quarterback competition? That to me is a bigger question and a little more in-depth dig at what's going on there, because I think we know, and I would guess that you would feel the same way, that Jesse Ertz and Joe Huebner are probably going to be there for the majority of fall camp. The question is going to be, will one of the other two be able to make a serious run at it?
It's a really tough question to answer without a whole lot of information that we get to go off of that. But if I had to answer it, I would say that one of them for sure will get that opportunity to advance a little bit further. We just don't know which one. I think that eventually
I don't think there's any way both of them do, just because right. I think the two will be there in Ertz and Huebner, and you just can't have four.
The reps just aren't there to go around mm-hmm. for everyone. So you know that you have a pretty good feeling that at least one of them will get a shot in the latter stages of fall camp. In the final 2 or 3 weeks of fall camp, there will be guys that are getting reps with the number ones just to get a feel for it and see how they're doing. But I think it's pretty unlikely it would be both of them. If I had to pick one, it would probably be Jonathan Banks. But that is more because I think that Alex Delton is considered to be more valuable to the program in the long haul. And so I think that he's fairly likely to get a red shirt this year, unless he comes into fall camp and starting today, he just blows everyone out of the water by a fairly wide margin throughout the entire month leading up to the season kickoff. But again, I think Alex Delton is considered more valuable to the program, and that's actually going to hurt him in this quarterback race.
Yeah, I think the combination of just getting the feeling that the opportunity to have him for 5.5 years with a redshirt year by the time he's done seems too valuable to pass up, and they don't want to burn that redshirt year. Plus, just all accounts, it seems like Jonathan Banks is going to get a legitimate shot and has been in whatever limited role he's been able to take part in stuff here over the summer, has been impressive enough that people think he's going to get a legitimate shot. I would think that it's Jonathan Banks that has a much better chance to stick around, but I wonder if that'll happen. I mean, we could get to Jesse Ertz and Joe Huebner pretty quickly and have frankly, disappointed me and probably a disappointed a lot of people. Would you be disappointed if that's what ends up happening pretty quickly?
Well, again, I mean, that depends on what the details are there. You know, if Alex Delton and Jonathan Banks show that they just clearly aren't at the same level as those two guys in terms of being prepared for a Big 12 caliber opponent, you know, I don't think that that's really something that you can argue with. You can be disappointed from the sense of you thought that they may be at that point already, but disappointed, I don't know if you're asking from that perspective or like disappointed in the coaches for not giving him that chance, throwing him that bone.
Disappointed in the fact that one of those two guys was
able
to.
A little bit, yeah, I would say.
Because, again, it's just to me to go back to the big picture on the offense. The big concern there is just athleticism, guys who can make plays. And I think we clearly see the potential for the highest ceiling of playmakers being with Alex Delton and Jonathan Banks. So I do think it would be disappointing if one of those guys doesn't stick around. But it's just so hard to handicap. It's so hard to predict because we've never seen a competition like this under Snyder with four guys legitimately having a chance a month before the season. And we just have not seen, there's not a precedent really outside of Michael Bishop for a guy coming in this late like Banks and entering the program and making that huge of an impact, coming in and starting, if we're going to talk about starting. And there's really nothing for a true freshman coming in and doing that, even if they had been there for spring ball.
But with Alex Delton, if he were to take the red shirt, you would think then with it down to three guys, that is now more reps for those three guys. And that's going to give Coach Snyder and the other coaches more of a chance to see, okay, maybe they're going to get more reps, so maybe they can show us a little bit more instead of it's still four guys, and they're going to be probably divvied up the same amount of reps. With three guys, you're going to see them more.
Right. Well, and that's part of why I think, in addition to just wanting to be able to – the fact that there's the want, the desire to redshirt Delton anyway probably makes you quicker on the trigger of saying, okay, go start taking the number twos, the reps of the twos for the most part, and we'll move forward with these other three because that does give you a chance to see them more. So that's why I think Delton would have the hardest time sticking around for a long period of time.
Plus, I think if Delton does redshirt, the sooner he does, that gives me the impression that the coaching staff has a better idea of who's going to be their day one starter.
Well, and first of all, I mean, when we say redshirt, so it's not – the redshirt is not something you have to designate.
Sure.
Like at the, you know, you don't have to right. say, hey, it's August 7th, Alex Delton, you're redshirting. But I think the way I would put it is they would start to divvy up the reps more like Alex Delton working with the number twos, the other guys splitting everything more with the number ones. Because that's what you have to cut down. When we're talking about reps, we're talking about reps with the number ones because you want it to be fair. I mean, like we see in the spring game, it's just not the same when you're working with the number two offense against the number one defense as it is the other way around. So you got to make it fair for all those guys. Receiver, another huge, huge question mark. Oh, by the way, I wanted to throw in before we leave the quarterback. Wild card and what could happen with the quarterback situation. It's been a fall from grace for Joe Huebner. He was the backup last year. He had some people excited with the way that he played in mop-up duty. And we all assumed he would be the starter in the spring game. Well, it was Jesse Ertz, and then Joe Huebner had a pretty bad spring game and didn't look impressive at all. So if his fall from grace continues, maybe he's one guy that gets clipped out of there quicker and just becomes someone that they feel much more comfortable with as a backup. So that, I would say watch out for that too. I'll be interested to monitor that throughout camp. Now, wide receiver, we know Cody Cook, Deontay Burton, and Kyle Klein seem to be the guys that are going to be, you would agree with me, the most likely
yes.
number ones, if you want to say it like that. I don't know if they technically list three receivers in the starting lineup, but if they did, which I think they do, those would be the three guys most likely. So I would say, will a wide receiver not named Cody Cook, Deontay Burton, or Kyle Klein push to take one of those spots? And that, again, is all about explosiveness and athleticism because I think the prime candidates you'd be looking at there are Andre Davis and Dominic Keith.
Yeah, and you know, you take a look at those two guys. I think that both of them have the capability of pushing, but it really comes down to how they look in those first couple weeks. I mean, I think that just as you want to narrow down the reps for the quarterbacks really early on, you want to figure out what you're working with the wide receivers early on as well, because you need to develop chemistry between the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. So it's one of those things that they can get left behind very early in the process.
Four quarterbacks, all the different receivers, good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, you add those up, you know, that's a million different – it's almost like uniform combinations. It's a million different combinations. K-State could throw a different completion route from quarterback to receiver every pass play throughout the course of the season probably. But I think that I would say Andre Davis is the more likely to make a push – just because he has a little bit more experience than Dominique Heath. I think Heath is a bigger weapon, and I think that he'll get on the field as well this year, but I think that Davis provides more at that position in terms of experience right now.
Well, he seems like a guy who would be more ready to be on the field at receiver, although I mean, they were not afraid to change the rules of the spring game, specifically, essentially, for Dominique Heath and let him take all sorts of returns.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think... Special teams is a totally different discussion here.
I know, but it shows faith in him to a certain level, at least.
Yeah, sure.
On the field.
See, to me, the reps at wide receiver for everybody on that team is totally wide open because everybody's already at limited experience. I mean, you think about who's behind right now, who you think is the starters. Probably behind them, right behind him, is somebody like Stan Weber, who is very limited in experience. Most of his experience is from special teams. Nobody has really had any starts. How many starts are currently on the roster?
Well, Deontay Burton. I mean, Deontay Burton was a starter last year. So Deontay Burton's a returning starter and has played a lot.
Other than that, it's wide open.
Kyle Klein has played a pretty good amount in his career. Cody Cook, I guess, would not technically have... Well, they list him as a returning starter. I mean, Cody Cook really did. By the end of the year, he was playing a lot. So those are the three guys.
But limited targets.
That's exactly it. Those are the three. Well, Cody Cook was he's the leading returning receiver. Cody Cook is the leading returning receiver outside of those guys. He had the most catches outside of Tyler and Curry last year. So I would argue that a little bit. I think there's experience to me is not the problem at receiver. It's just it's explosiveness. The three guys that are seemingly in place there with Cook, Burton, and Klein, they have enough experience that I don't think you worry about that. I don't worry about them making mental mistakes out there, but I worry about them being to beat somebody one-on-one on the outside. I mean, that's really the problem.
It's concerning because outside of Kyle Klein, and Kyle Klein, you cannot afford to put huge expectations on him this year. He may be very, very good, but with his history, you just can't go to that extent. He's the only guy that doesn't fit in that category of like a 5'10 to 6 foot or 6'1 receiver. He's at 6'4, but everyone else is in that same frame. I mean, everyone is exactly the same, and I really don't like that. When I look at a wide receiving core and what I want to see, I want to see a range of different sizes, range of different heights and weights, speeds. I want to know that there are a lot of different options out there, and with K-State, they just don't seem to have that.
Well, Heath and Andre Davis would give you a different sort of element with that. And I tell you what, the thing that gives me hope about Dominique Heath is looking back into the program. I mean, Tremaine Thompson played quite a bit in 2010 as a freshman, coming off a redshirt year. Tyler Lockett stepped right in as a true freshman and made an impact to the tune of a couple hundred receiving yards and a few touchdowns and was good on special teams. I mean, that seems to be the blueprint for what you hope Dominique Heath could be, that he would be the next in line. And I'm not trying to put Tyler Lockett expectations on him, even though he talked in the spring quite a bit about working with Tyler and wanting to be like Tyler, but at least Tremaine Thompson level. I mean, we've seen two guys be able to do that, and Tremaine Thompson had a very productive career. I mean, you would take Tremaine Thompson on this team right now, right?
Absolutely.
You know, it'd be fantastic to add him in there. One thing that I think is underrated, and this is on the other side of the ball for another question, K-State entering fall camp, which opens today. Does Will Davis get seriously pushed by someone else at linebacker? I mean, I'd be willing to concede pretty much we expect Elijah Lee to be a starting linebacker, and I still think, you know, the odds-on favorite, obviously, to also start at linebacker is Will Davis, just because he's a guy that is in the right place at the right time, hard worker, has been there. He would be virtually the incumbent there. But it's another situation of worrying about athleticism. We went through the beginning of the year last year, people worried about Jonathan Truman. I think he was able to quell some of the concern about his athleticism after that Iowa State game. Really did just have one legitimately very bad game and then rebounded, had 128 tackles last year. But losing him plus DeCorey Johnson, I think people underrate how tough of a blow that is to lose DeCorey Johnson, your team leader in tackles for loss last year, despite the fact that he was only playing 50-60% of the snaps.
Right. Well, that's last year. That's why people don't think about it as much, because he wasn't that guy that you could see on the field every single play. And that's not his fault, but it kind
of some of it might have been, because I honestly do not know why he was not on the field more last year.
Yeah, that's true. I think that injuries were definitely a part of it at some portion of that. I don't know if it was all of it. We don't get that information.
Remember the Auburn game? He's fantastic against Auburn, mm-hmm. which was probably the best performance for that defense all year last year, shutting down that high-powered running attack. DeCorey Johnson was Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week after that, flying back behind the line of scrimmage. UCLA, once he came in after sitting out the first quarter, again, another thing I'd love to know what the deal was with that. He helped K-State at least stop the bleeding with trying to contain UCLA's offense. So that's a big loss, I guess is the point.
To answer your question, I don't think that Will Davis will get pushed out of that spot. I mean, you look at the candidates for that, and you're talking about Sam Sizelove, Trent Tanking, those kind of guys.
Well, Trent Tanking, I think, is the one that I would naturally look to, just because we've heard a decent amount about him. He's played a lot on special teams, made special teams tackles.
I think that Davis, with his experience, wins the day in that particular battle. I don't think that there is that much of a difference from an athleticism standpoint that it would overtake what Davis brings to the table in that experience at a Big 12 level.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that, at least for now. Maybe that's a situation where by the middle of the season someone can take over, and maybe this becomes not really a fall camp question, but a what happens over the course of the regular season question. Wild card, Justin Hughes. And maybe I read too much into the just loving what Andre Coleman's doing in the Southeast and the Georgia boys and that pipeline from Tucker High School, but from the same place as Elijah Sullivan, who flipped from Auburn to K-State and is a freshman linebacker coming in. Then Duke Shelley, who was the highest rated player by Rivals.com in that recruiting class. They're all from the same place. I know Shelley and his coach, and we had him on the recruiting show, really raved about the athleticism of Hughes. He's a gray shirt. It's a long shot, but I would flip that in there as a wild card in the linebacker discussion.
I think that people will really disagree with me on this, maybe you included, but I actually feel better about the depth at the linebacker position than I do at the wide receiver position. Would you agree with that?
Better about depth at linebacker.
I think there. I like how much athleticism there is down the depth chart at linebacker.
But we really haven't seen the depth at wide receiver, though.
I think the future is bright with some of those linebackers. You know, if you're talking about Elijah Lee, Justin Hughes, Elijah Sullivan, there's three guys right there mm-hmm. who are very, very athletic.
Oh, so yeah, no doubt about that.
I could see that. And, you know, Trent Tanking seems to be another guy who could come up in the role of a Blake Slaughter, Jonathan Truman, which have been the solid guys that get you 100-plus tackles over the last few years. I'm just thinking out loud here with the receivers. You know, losing Judah Jones, I think, hurts if you're going to talk about depth at wide receiver. I can see the argument. To me, they're similar. They're similar if you're going to talk about that. But honestly, yeah, I'd probably feel better about the future, if you want to look at it like that, the future at linebacker than I do with the future at receiver right now.
Yeah.
I'll give you that definitely. Much, yeah. For sure. Did you have something?
I was just, with Tyler's argument, we just haven't seen the depth at wide receiver. We don't know what there is to come besides what we've seen in the spring game.
Well, it's really the same thing with most of the linebackers we talked about, too. So we're speculating.
That's the thing. It's just a debate that doesn't have an answer quite yet.
True. True.
Well, maybe we'll get one this weekend. Or maybe we won't.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Media Day is on Saturday, so next week should be a fun batch of shows, because we'll have a ton of sound from all the different players. It's one or two times a year we get to speak with the assistant coaches as well. So looking forward to next week on the show. And then by the time we're done with next week, man, we're getting right up next to game week. We'll go around college football at 5:10 to hop back into the college football talk. Next, though, Mitch Holthus scheduled to join us, voice of the Chiefs, his first update from training camp in St. Joseph, Missouri, here on The Game.
Get in the game.
KMAN is keeping it local. Dollars spent locally today help build a better community for tomorrow.
Manhattan's locally owned Baskin-Robbins is now open at our new location. Find us downtown in Manhattan Marketplace next to Best.